show and tell. You remember show and tell? Do you remember your children doing show and tell? Or maybe you did show and tell? The purpose of the show and tell is to take something to school, to show it, and then tell about it. Well, I got to thinking about that, and certainly we ought to go show it on the mountain. I know it's go tell it on the mountain, but go and show it on the mountain. I heard about three little children that had gone to school. The teacher told them, said, I want you to present something that has to do with your faith in God. So the little boy came to school. He held up a six-point star. He said, this is it. She said, what is that, son? He said, this is the Star of David. I am a Jew. A second little girl came up to the front of the classroom. She had a piece of bread in her hand. And she said, this is the bread. And the teacher said, well, honey, what is that all about? She said, well, don't you know? This is the bread that came down from heaven. This is the sacraments. I'm a Catholic, she said. A third little girl was asked to come to the front of the classroom. She came up to the front of the classroom. And she had an empty Tupperware bowl. She held it up proudly. And her teacher said, wait a minute. I know about the Star of David, I understand about the bread, but what is that empty Tupperware bowl? The little girl said proudly, this is a casserole, I'm a Baptist, all right? Baptists like to eat. I'm glad we got some great cooks in the church family. And the church said, amen and amen. But by the way, denomination isn't going to get you to heaven anyway. My dear friend used to say, if you go up, the label of your denomination is going to fly off. And if you go down, it's going to burn off. So either way, it's going to come off. But I want to tell you something. Go show it on the mountain. And there are five witnesses that I want to call to your attention today. As I've been thinking and praying about the message, five witnesses that ought to encourage us, motivate us to go and show it on the mountain. Are you sharing your faith in the Lord Jesus? A very familiar passage of Scripture. Turn to chapter 2 of the book of Luke. You're very familiar with this. Luke chapter 2. There are five witnesses and five reasons I believe the Lord has spoken to my heart in regards to go show it on the mountain. In Luke chapter 2. Find Luke 2. And if you would skip down to verse number 8. You're very familiar with it. Stand to your feet. We're going to read the word of God. And I want to share with you five witnesses from the biblical account of not only the book of Luke, but also in the book of Revelation concerning go show it on the mountain. Say that with me. Go show it on the mountain. One more time. Show it. Not only tell it, but show it. How many know that people are watching us as much as they are listening to us? And our life and our lips will demonstrate if we've got a personal relationship with God. Our walk and our talk is equally important. In Luke chapter 2, I began reading in verse 8. If you're there, say amen. And there were in the fields, the same country, the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know this very well. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Say that with me. Fear not. One more time. Fear not. It's a good word for today. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. And verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known, go show it on the mountain. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. Go show it on the mountain. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it as we talk for a little while on the subject. Go show it on the mountain. Father, thank you for your grace, your love, your precious cleansing blood. Lord, we bless you that we celebrate you not only today, but every day, because this is the day the Lord Jesus you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. For your word tells us, by all things created in heaven and earth, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all things created by you and for you. And you're before all things, and by you all things consist. All things are held together, and you are the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the image of the invisible God. And Lord, we bless you today that we worship a living God, that you are not some statue or some totem pole or some inanimate object, rock or a tree, but God, you're a God that makes and creates and saves and redeems, and you're a God true to your word. And we bless you today that let everything that had breath, let it praise the Lord. You've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to us. You've blessed us. I thank you for redeeming me with your own precious blood, willingly and sacrificially taking my sins, paying a debt that you didn't know, a price I couldn't pay, and yet rising from the grave, hallelujah, and one day coming in glory and power. And we love you today. We bless you today. I pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your glory will be seen. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for our time of worship. Now change us, Lord, to go out in a dark world with the good news that Jesus, you're still in the life-changing business, and we'll give you the glory for it, because we pray it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. Here are the five witnesses. If you're taking notes, you'll note the five witnesses that would give us evidences and reasons to share the good news. Number one is the witness of the angels. Number two is the witness of the shepherds. Number three is the witness of the wise men. Number four is the witness of the kings. And number five is the witness of the princes. Not princess, but princes. P-R-I-N-C-E-S. Number one, the witness of the angels. Now, I want you to follow with me along for a moment as we think about what happened that 2,000 years ago. It was evident these shepherds were in their field at night and keeping the watch over their flock. Now, I want you to notice there are two thoughts, one I want to share about the witness of the angels. Go show it on the mountain. It's very obvious that, first of all, there is the witness of the angels, the jubilation, the jubilation. Number two, we'll cover for a little while on the judgment. It just so happens we read in the text, namely in the book of Luke chapter 2, that Luke meticulously records the events that took place on the morning, yea, the night that Jesus was born. And so first for a moment, think about the event as Luke records these words. In fact, the shepherds are keeping their flock by night. It's probably cold outside. It's dark outside. All of a sudden, an angel appears. Now, the Bible says they were afraid. Now, if an angel appeared right before you, you and I would probably be afraid. In fact, you might be sitting next to an angel. I hope you are sitting next to an angel, or you might be in front of an angel. Well, the fact is, we believe in angels. How many believe in angels? We believe in angels, yet we worship God. Now, keep in mind, these shepherds were men who understood how to battle with a lion or a bear. They understood the animals that were lurking in the distance waiting to devour their sheep. They were well aware. They were probably renowned, strong men, and yet they are sore afraid. That is, they are scared. I like what the angel said to them. He said, fear not. Say that with me. Fear not. One more time. Fear not. How many of you are afraid today? You say, I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know which direction I'm going to go. I'm not really sure about today. Well, God says, fear not. Because the angel assured the shepherds. For example, he said, here's why you shouldn't be afraid. Today, in the city of David is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. You'll find him, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Oh, yes, it was good news. How many know that we need some good news today? Oh, yes, angels are real. Matter of fact, I heard about a young girl that had found a young man to marry. It was her fiancé, and she told her mama. She said, Mama, he's a nice young man. I really like him. I believe he's the one. She said, but Mama, I got to tell you something. He don't believe in angels and he don't believe in the devil. The mama said, honey, don't you worry about that. If he's married you and been around me for 6 months, he'll believe in angels and the devil, all right? I don't know about that, but I know this. I know that angels are real. God's created beings, spirit beings, appointed and delegated at his dispatch, that is God, both evil and elect angels. But wait a minute. For a moment, I want you to follow with me the account that happened 2,000 years ago. And it is this. After the announcement of where and when and how the birth of the Lord Jesus would be, notice that there was a multitude of angels that began to circle around and about where the shepherds were at. And their message was simple. I mean, they're out in their field watching their flock by night, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord shines round and about them. And you see, the angels began to announce, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. How many know there won't be real peace until the Prince of Peace comes and rules and reigns with a rod of iron for 1,000 years? I want you to see the angels for a moment. I want you to see now, not only in their time of jubilation, it was shouting, it was praising. I mean, the shepherds were overwhelmed with all this great news. And by the way, we ought to be too. How many are glad that we've got good news to tell? We don't have bad news to tell. We've got good news to tell. Go show it on the mountain. Go show it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Are you telling the story? Are you showing the shepherds? Are you showing, that is, shepherds as in everyday life? Are you telling the story? We sing it, but the question is, are you and I the light of the world? And are we letting our light shine before men? Are we being good salt on the earth? Not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We are on missions for God. Go show it on the mountain. Now, I want you to jump from the jubilation of the angels to now, secondly, the judgment of the angels. Now, if you would, follow me for a moment. Because listen to me, beloved, we can rejoice in the angels and their jubilation over the birth of our Lord. Listen to me, look up here. But one day, the angels are not going to be shouting with jubilation. They are going to be shouting with judgment. And it's not going to be very long from now. In fact, we read in the book of Revelation, now all of a sudden we go from jubilation to judgment. As the lion from the tribe of Judah and the root of David, he opens the scroll. He's the only one worthy. It's depicted in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. And then the unleashing of God's almighty wrath and judgment will hit the earth in the form of 7 seals and 7 trumpets and 7 bowls. After those seals are broken by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, then those riders come riding in, the white horse rider, the black horse rider, the red horse rider, and then finally the pale horse rider. 1/4 of the population will die. There will be many that will be killed, avenging, asking for a vengeance for their blood as they cry out to God, as these seals are being unleashed. But wait a minute. In the book of Revelation chapter 8, you know what the angels are going to do? They're going to sound the trumpet, 7 trumpet judgments. No longer it will be jubilation, but now all of a sudden the judgment of God is going to come. How many believe that God is going to judge this whole world? Hey, we get all sentimental, all caught up in the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Don't forget, this is God Almighty. And don't forget, these angels, you know what they're going to do in Revelation chapter 8? There will be silence in heaven. How long? 30 minutes. And all of a sudden, the first angel, he's going to sound his trumpet. And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Fire and blood and hail is going to be mingled together and fall to the earth. You know what's going to happen then? 1/3 of the trees are going to be burned up. You know what's going to happen then? All the green grass is going to be destroyed. Listen to me. All the green grass, according to John's revelation in the book of Revelation chapter 8. The first trumpet has sounded. The angel blows the trumpet. But there's a second trumpet that's going to be sounded. And the second angel blows the trumpet. And you know what's going to happen? A mountain is going to be falling from heaven as it were on fire. And you know what it does? It falls to the earth and falls in the sea. And you know what happens? 1/3 of the sea will turn to blood. 1/3 of the sea creatures will die. 1/3 of all the ships will be destroyed. The second angel has sounded his trumpet. The third angel stands by, meanwhile, to sound his trumpet. And the third angel sounds his trumpet, not in jubilation, but in judgment. And this third angel, when he sounds the trumpet, a star will fall from heaven out of the bottomless pit. That star is named Wormwood. And you know what that star is going to do? That star is going to fall on the rivers and on the water, and all of the water will become bitter. This is going to be a hell on earth. Oh, listen, beloved, there's some that say the church is going through this time. I do not believe that at all. Why would God's judgment fall upon his people? Oh, no. But yet many will be saved, martyrs for their faith in Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, follow with me. There's a fourth trumpet that sounds. And the angel sounds the trumpet. And you know what it is? It's the trumpet where the sun is smitten and the stars are smitten and the moon is smitten. One third of the sun will not shine. One third of the moon will not shine. One third of the stars will not shine. You talk about ecological disasters and you talk about global warming. I mean, if the sun is going to be misfigured and affected, don't you think for one moment the climate is not going to change drastically? That's God's global situation. Nonetheless, when this happens, these elements will cease to shine. That leads us to the fifth trumpet sounds, the angel. Check it out now. Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 9. And you know what this fifth angel's going to do? He's got a key. He's the wormwood. Say that with me. Wormwood. Say it again. Wormwood is the star that falls. And you know what he's doing? He's got a key to the bottomless pit. And he opens the bottomless pit. And guess what comes out of the bottomless pit? I'll tell you what comes out of the bottomless pit. These demon-like creatures. No longer will there be jubilation. It will be judgment, judgment, judgment. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Get ready. God is going to judge this world. But wait a minute. You know what these demon-like creatures are going to look like? They're going to have hair like women, teeth like lions. They'll have a tail like a scorpion, and they'll sting and torment the human, that is man, for 5 months on the earth. And guess what? Men still will not repent of their sin. We live in a time when men do not want to hear the word of God. They don't care about the King of Glory. Oh, they'll get sentimental about the babe wrapped in swaddled clothes and think it's a little children's story. No, no, no. The judgment's coming. And when these demon creatures come forth from the bottomless pit, it'll be a horrible time. Only to lead up to the sixth trumpet judgment. And you know what's going to happen? Then 200 million man army. Many believe that to be the demonic activity that's on the planet Earth. All this is leading up to the seal. Not only the seal and the trumpets, but the vial, rather known as the bold judgments. They will come in rapidity. They will come in intensity. And God's wrath and God's anger and God's judgment is going to be poured out upon the earth. Oh, go tell it. Go show it on the mountain. Aren't you concerned about lost neighbors? Aren't you concerned about your lost family? Aren't you concerned of where people spend eternity? Oh, go show it on the mountain. And all of this vile judgments will lead up to the final vile judgment found in the book of Revelation chapter 16. These three frog-like creatures, namely demons, will lead these kings of the earth to merge there in the valley of Jehoshaphat, making their way over to the valley, otherwise known as Megiddo. Oh, the judgment of God. Oh, God's judgment's coming. Today we worship a Savior. But wait a minute. Judgment's coming. How many of you heard the name Dylann Roof? Dylann Roof is a young man, the young white man that went into the black church in South Carolina, brutally and mercilessly murdered 9 people while they were on Wednesday night. I don't know about you. I hope he gets right with God. But I'll be honest with you. God's justice be done. God's justice be done. Judgment's coming. Hey, look, God's a just God. And God will not at all acquit the wicked. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 4. Oh, yes, Genesis chapter 9. God says, a man sheds another man's blood, and his blood will be required at his hands. Listen to me, beloved. Judgment's coming. There's a second witness that God calls forth for us today. Go show it on the mountain. Not only the angels, but notice the shepherds. What did they do? How did they respond? Oh, I'll tell you how they responded. You see, they were out of their fields, and when the angel came to them, the second witness that ought to motivate you and me to go and show it on the mountain. The second witness is this, namely the shepherds. Again, they heard the good news. Did they obey God? God sent an angel to tell them what to do. Did they do what God told them to do? Absolutely. Well, what was their response? I'll tell you what their response was. Here was their response. Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? You hadn't heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Don't you know? Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Do you know? Have you heard? Have you heard? I want to tell everybody, hadn't you heard? There's a Savior born in Bethlehem. They went around and told everybody. Are you telling everybody? Why not? You see, they told the world a Savior had been born. I like good news, don't you? You got some good news to tell. Right now is a great time. Hadn't you heard? Have you been told? Has anybody, by the way, y'all look at me. Not everybody in our community has heard the good news. There are people like Buck Urgle who hadn't heard the good news until about a year, less than a year ago. There are people in our community. Now we live in the Bible Belt and we think everybody knows. Everybody's heard. No, no, no. Everybody hadn't heard. And everybody doesn't know. And that's why we ought to go and show it on the mountain. And the church said, everybody hadn't heard. Everybody in your school hadn't heard. Aren't you concerned about them when they die and they go out in eternity? And you say, I wish I'd have talked with them about Jesus. It's too late then. Tell them about the birth of the Lord. Tell them about the death of Jesus. Not only the death and the birth, the resurrection. But tell them, listen, the king's coming. How many believe the king's coming? Tell them the king's coming. The king's coming. The king's coming. He's coming. Like that old song says, the king is coming. Oh, yes, the king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Are you ready for the king to come? Oh, listen, he won't be wrapped in swaddling clothes laid in a manger anymore. He's coming again. And you need to go and show it on the mountain. I heard a story some years ago about a king that gave a servant a particular task. He gave him a letter and he said, here, I want you to go down to the jail and I want you to tell the warden and the jailer that I've got a pardon right here in my pocket. And I want you to go give them this letter and I want you to tell them it's a pardon from the king. Here you go. The servant grabbed the letter. He said, okay, I'll do it. He made off from where the king had handed him the letter. But he got busy. He kind of got sidetracked. He kind of got distracted. You know what I mean? Just kind of busy and distracted from doing what he was told to do by the king. And so finally he made his way over to the jail. And finally he went up to the jailer and he said, here, sir, I've got something I want to give you. And so he handed the jailer the letter. The jailer took the letter and he looked at it. And he said, if you'd only come here 5 minutes earlier, 5 minutes earlier, we executed this man just 5 minutes ago. If you'd only been here 5 minutes earlier. He handed the man the letter. The man took the letter. He walked out of the jail saying these words. What's the king gonna say? What's the king gonna say? What's the king going to say? What's the king going to say? What is the king going to say? I want to ask you a question. God's placed people around you and me to tell them the good news. Now, we can make every excuse under the book. I kid, you can. We all say we're busy. We all got things going on. We're all stressed. I understand that. But what's the king going to say when you stand and I stand before the king? See, all excuses and all alibis and all business is not going to hold water with the king. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And let the Spirit of God lead you. What's the king going to say? There's a third witness that emerges from our text, and it's namely not only the angels, not only the shepherds, thirdly, the wise men. Go show it on the mountain. What about the wise men? Well, what about them? What about the wise men? Evidently, these were Magi coming, seeing the star, following the star. Many believe this to be, perhaps, how did they know about this? I don't know. I can speculate. I can say maybe they had read the account 700 years before this event took place, namely when Isaiah talked about a virgin being born of a virgin rather having a child and calling his name Emmanuel, and his name being called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, and the government of the world. Maybe they read about, I don't know, maybe they read about Micah's prophetic passage when he predicted that this one, the Savior of the world, would be born in a place called Bethlehem, otherwise known as the fields of Bethlehem. At any rate, they saw the star in the east and they followed the star as it, whatever that star was. Some believe that to be a supernatural revelation of God. But I know this, when they found the star, you know what they did? I'll tell you what they did. If I can bring this back up, I may need some help back there. Bring that up, please, Katie, back to the screen. I'll tell you what they did. Here's what they did. Thank you. Here's what they did. You can see a picture. Now, I know you're well aware. The three kings, and we don't really know if there's three, maybe more. I mean, we know that three gifts are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, and gold and frankincense and myrrh were presented. Watch this. They laid it at the feet of the King of Glory. And one little girl said it this way. She said, what did those wise men bring? She said, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. She almost got it, but she missed it a little bit. Anyway, and I'm well aware, and you're well aware, of the fact that Jesus was probably a toddler at this time. He was not a babe. In fact, Matthew's account says they saw the young child. And so, but nonetheless, the tradition shows the wise men coming to the manger scene. Now, they present these gifts. They place them at his feet. You know what's going to happen one day? For those of you who've been saved by the grace of God, how many know that you're saved this morning? Let me see your hand. You know what's going to happen one day? I'm telling you what's going to happen. Let's fast forward. Could happen anytime. We're not sure when this thing is going to come to pass, but I tell you what's going to happen. One day, according to Revelation chapter 4, we are going to be caught up in the throne room of the Most High God. And by the way, we're not going to have presents as in gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the Bible does describe five crowns that you and I can obtain before we get to glory. Number one, there's the runner's crown, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Number two, there's the watcher's crown, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Number three, there is the soul winner's crown, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Number four, there's the shepherd's crown, found in 1 Peter chapter 5. And then number five, the fifth crown described in the Bible that you and I perhaps could obtain, yet by the grace of God, would be the crown of life shown as in James chapter 1 and verse number 12. You know what you're going to do with that crown? I'm telling you, when Jesus comes again, as someone prayed earlier, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then those of us that remain caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, what's going to happen after the rapture or that great getting up morning, that caught away harpazo? You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. We are going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Let every one of us appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Whatever you're building your life upon, it will be tested by the fiery eyes of the Lord. Not pastor, not Sunday school teacher, not Christian. Jesus will test our works and our motives to see if we've come to church because we just want to be seen, or because we just want to talk with somebody, or we just come because it's a habit, or have we really come to church because we love the Lord, we want to serve the Lord, and are we telling people about Jesus not because the preacher said so, but because God said so? Are we serving God and exercising those God-given gifts because of the love of Christ, or is it because of some other reason which will be tested by the fire hours with our Lord? And either it'll be consumed as wood, hay, and stubble, or it will be preserved through the gold, silver, and precious stone. You know what we're going to do with these crowns? You know what we're going to do with them? Oh, we're not going to keep them. You know what we're going to do? I believe truly that the Word of God teaches in Revelation 4 and 5. Also, you can see in other parts in the latter part of the book of Revelation. I believe we're going to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm nothing but your everything. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and grace. I owe you everything. And then we're going to join in that throng singing, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Not the man upstairs. Holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, yes. The whole earth is full of His glory as the waters that cover the sea. Tell me, how you doing in this race? Tell me, will you have any crowns to place at the feet of Jesus? Tell me, have you got a plan? Tell me, are you fulfilling your purpose? Tell me, are you asleep? Sleeping Christians? Are you caught up in all the hoopla and celebration about what took place in the election? You've forgotten we've got a king to serve? I heard about a story of a lady. I can see her right now over in the cemetery. And I can see her right now. She's kneeling down in this particular cemetery, not this one, but another one. And there's a statue of a man placed there in the middle of that cemetery. This dear woman has a wreath of flowers. And she's bowed on her knees with tears streaming down her face. And she's placing those wreath of flowers at the feet of this statue. Somebody sees her and they walk up and say, ma'am, who is that? Is that your daddy? No. Is that your husband? No. Who is that? And the lady says, this is the man that saved my life. I was in a fire one time, and this firefighter made his way into our house, and he saved my life. I owe my life to him. He saved my life. I'm going to tell you something. I owe my life to Jesus. And you owe your life to Jesus. He saved me. Glory. He loves me. Hallelujah. He died for me. He arose from the grave. I owe it all to Him. Are you willing to bow at His feet? Lay yourself at His feet today. Say, Lord, I'm available to do whatever you want me to do. Go show it on the mountain. There's a fourth witness that comes on the scene. And it's not all the angels, not all the shepherds, and not all the wise men. Number four. What about the kings? You say, what kings? Matthew, the tax collector, gives us some insight as to this one king named Herod. Oh, he was jumping with jealousy. He was bitten with bitterness. He was a cruel king. He's a liar. He's a big liar. He's a liar. The wise men come, and the king Herod says, when you find the child, come back, let me know where I can worship him. He's lying. He don't want to worship him. But you know what, Herod, son, I want to tell you something. Herod, you got to learn this. God always has the final say-so. Not you, not me. God has the final say-so. Fast forward. Sometime in the near future. Speaking of kings. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be some kings that are going to cross over the Euphrates River. It's found in the book of Revelation chapter 16. God is going to lead them supernaturally. Three frog-like creatures, namely demon creatures, after an earthquake occurs. And next thing you know, they end up over there in Jerusalem. Only to find themselves making their way to the battle of Armageddon. Zechariah chapter 14 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That means if the United States is still around, the United States will be over in Jerusalem, according to God's word. And the Lord shall go forth to fight against those nations as he did in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in two. Listen, kings. Now, I believe we ought to pray for our president-elect. How many believe that? But Donald Trump needs to learn. Riches might get you a lot here on this earth, but it won't get you to heaven. Riches might buy you fine clothes, but it won't buy you forgiveness of sin. Riches, money will buy you rubies, but it won't buy you redemption. It'll buy you pearls, but not the pearl of a great price. It'll buy you a fancy house, but it won't buy you a home in heaven. Look, there's a fifth witness, and I'm done. Not only the angels, not only the shepherds, and not only the wise men, not only the kings, but what about the princes? P-R-I-N-C-E-S. The witness, go show it on the mountain. The witness of the Prince of Peace. The witness of the Prince of Darkness. You see, the Prince of Darkness thought that he could somehow put a monkey wrench thwart the plan of Almighty God. When he, in fact, in Genesis 3, he deceived Eve into eating the fruit and Adam thereby, thus sin came into the world. And on top of that, tried to pollute the human race. As we read in Genesis chapter 6, many believe the infiltration of demonic activity going on in the human race. But ultimately, as he ask the Savior, our Lord Jesus, to bow down and worship him on the mount of, you recall, in the mountain of what we call Hermon, over in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus said, "Begone, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship and serve." I want to tell you this, Satan, the devil's ultimate destination is the lake of fire. One day he'll be cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, along with the false prophet and the beast. Go show it on the mountain. Are you telling? Are you going? Are you showing? I spent a lot of time this week with Sister Marie Luttrell. Many of you know her condition. Diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, liver and pancreas. She's already had one treatment, and she's getting weaker and weaker. As I sat around her bedside and we talked, I said to her, I said, "Sister Marie," she said, "I've got a lot of decisions to make." Now, listen to me. Today you might not have a lot of decisions to make, but one day you might. And it could be you and it could be me right there having to make a decision. Do I take chemotherapy or do I not? Do I let it weaken my body worse and worse? What is my condition? What is my prognosis? What is my... Anyway, we prayed. And you know what? I looked at Marie and I said to her, with the family, the three children, Misty, Karen, and Jan. Different times, talking with them, visiting their home Friday. And I said to Marie, I said, "Sister Marie, as you know, she's on hospice. It was her decision. She's had one treatment." I said, "Sister Marie, the best is yet to come. Do you believe that? If you were in her condition, what would you do?" She looked at me and I looked at her and I said, "By the way, Sister Marie, one day you'll get to see Charles." I was with him at the hospital when he took his last breath. I've told you the account where a teardrop dripped off his chin and away he went into the presence of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I said, "Sister Marie, you'll get to see Charles." She looked at me and she said, "I want to see Jesus face to face." Woo! I want to see Jesus. Won't it be wonderful? There. No more burdens to bear. Let's stand together.